Chapter 1, June 2011, Charlie Webster. Jack Castle drove slowly up the shrub-lined approach to his Berkshire home. He parked the sleek Jaguar next to Nicole's 4x4 and walked around to the rear of the property. The afternoon was warm and he could hear his wife and daughters giggling on the back lawn. As he turned the corner, he stopped for a few seconds and watched as the three played on a big rug. "Hello, ladies." The twins turned and beamed at the sound of his voice.
"Daddy's home," said Nicole.
The two little one-year-olds trotted to meet him, delight on their faces, as his wife stood and followed them. Scooping up the girls, he kissed their cheeks.
"And how are my little angels?"
Nicole put her arms around her family, then leaned in to kiss her husband. Jack could smell her perfume as she pressed her lips against his. The nanny came through the patio doors. "Phone for you, Mr. Jack." He put the girls down and took the handset.
"Thanks, Svetlana.
Hello?
Jack, this is Maggie Webster, Charlie's wife."
"Hello, Maggie. How are you? How's Charlie? Is everything okay?"
"No, Jack. Charlie's dying."
"Oh, no. I'm so sorry." "He's asking to see you. He says it's very important. Can you come?"
"Yes, of course. I'm heading out to the Middle East tomorrow, but I'll be back in about a week."
"He hasn't got that long, Jack."
"Right, yes. Okay. I'll come up today. Are you guys still in Cheshire?"
"Yes."
"Okay. What's your postcode, Maggie?"
Jack took out his smartphone and tapped in the code. "I'll leave within the hour and be there as soon as I can."
"Thank you, Jack. See you later."
Nicole frowned.
"What is it, darling?"
"One of my old army buddies is dying."
"Oh, I'm sorry."
"I need to go up to Cheshire, Nicky. He wants to see me. Apparently it's important."
"Yes, of course. You must go, Zakin. If I leave now, I can be back tonight."
"Sorry, babe."
"Don't be silly. Go and drive safely. I love you."
"Love you too."
He bent down and kissed the twins, then went into the house. It took a little under 3 hours for Jack to make the drive to Cheshire. And it was almost 6 o'clock when he pulled into the driveway of the Tudor-style house in the elegant village of Mottram St. Andrew. As he climbed out the Jag, the front door opened and a gaunt-looking Maggie came out to meet him.
"Hello, Jack. Thank you so much for coming."
As they hugged, Jack said, "No problem. Where is he?"
"We moved his bed into the study so he could see the garden."
"This way." As they entered the room, Jack said, "He's sleeping?"
At the bedside, Maggie gently touched her husband's shoulder.
"Jack is here, darling."
Charlie Webster opened his bloodshot eyes and smiled weakly at his old friend.
"Hello, Jack."
Maggie bent down and kissed his forehead. "I'll leave you boys to talk. Please don't tire him. Can I get you a drink, Jack?" Jack shook his head and she left the room.
"No point asking how you're doing, buddy."
Charlie sucked in a deep breath. The rasping sound as it entered his lungs made Jack wince.
"Can I get you anything?"
Another gasp of breath and the dying man slowly shook his head.
"Jack, thanks for coming."
"No problem. What can I do for you, Charlie?"
"Kabul. 2003. A Hercules was shot down."
He paused, eyes closed, then coughed weakly. Jack put his hand on his friend's chest.
"Take your time, mate."
The bloodshot eyes slowly opened.
"You know the one I'm talking about? It was supposed to be loaded with captured opium."
"Yeah, I remember. Something like 60 or 70 tons of raw opium had been taken from the Taliban.
The Americans were going to ship it to Bahrain or somewhere."
"That's right. Thing is, the plane they shot down didn't have any opium on board." Jack stood up and took a bottle of mineral water from the side table.
"Do you mind?"
Charlie nodded slightly.
"So what happened to the opium?" Another rasping breath was followed by a weak cough.
"It was switched, Jack. They switched the opium to another flight."
"They shot that plane down themselves to cover the theft of 70 tons of raw opium."
"Who did, Charlie? Who took the cargo?"
"A lot of senior men were involved, but the man in charge was General Alexander Stonewall Mason."
Jack's mouth opened slightly, and Charlie saw the surprise on his old friend's face.
"That's right, Jack. The general that was, and is now, President-elect Alex Mason."
"Charlie, are you sure? You're saying the guy who's going to be the next president of the United States masterminded a billion-dollar opium heist?"
"That's right, Jack.